This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
We are Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying,
hey man,
there is so much happening around the NFL right now. Players changing locations, including our own Grady Jarrett, which we'll dive into. But first and foremost, understand this. The main priority this offseason, and I don't know if we're going to be able to do it, we'll see, is to improve a defense that was worst in every major category except for one. We were 3 out of 4, Mike, in total yards, in yards allowed, in passing yards allowed, in points scored. We were 31st in sacks. All these things that really measure a defense, we were not great at. And so today, when the Falcons made a tough decision to release Grady Jarrett, and I'm going back before I bring you forward, I know there was a lot of sentimental value with people saying, oh, what are they doing? Why are they letting this guy go? He's been the mainstay. He's been the rock. And you're right. But this was a financial decision. This was not a personal decision with Grady.
No, and real quick, I mean, like, the last thing I ever want to do is, you know, step up for any company or team, generally, when I have issues with some of the things, the way they've done their business. But this was inevitable. If you've been listening to the show, guys, I Carl just touched on it, the sentimentality, because Grady's the guy that you love because he's the heart and soul of this team. But this was a guy we told you for basically a few weeks, if not a month, that this is probably the few places they can go to create some cap space. So we knew it was coming. I think it just the shock and the reality of it hitting some Falcon fans today. But just one thing to be clear, the Falcons paid Grady over $106 million over his career. You know, I mean, he did pretty well by the Falcons. You know, at some point, offensive linemen seemed to be a little more sturdier. Remember, Grady's a year removed from an ACL injury. So we see Jake gets a 2-year extension and Grady gets moved on. And it's a shame, but Grady lands on his feet. He gets $28 million guaranteed from the Bears in a multi-year deal.
Yeah, and look, I was not completely all in on Jake being or extended. Mm. At 33 years old, and I know he's speaking of being a rock, I know this dude's only missed one game, and every year we knock wood. He's been reliable, durable, as you can get. But as I've said, with 30-plus-year-old guys, I was a little reluctant to say, all right, we're going to extend him. Now, when we talked to Jake last year, I asked him, I said, dude, how long you want to play? Because he's a great guy. He said, man, I feel good. I think I might want to play a couple more years, but we'll see after the season. Well, obviously, you know, this is how I'm looking at it, Mike. This extension, it's 2 years. It's really a 1-year extension.
Right.
They're gonna, you know, save some money. He gets a little bit of a bump. And at the end of the day, if he wants to step away, the cap hit is not going to kill them with a guy like Jake Matthews. But I was still a little bit reluctant because I felt like, all right, let's do some of these other guys that you know are in the prime of their careers, like a Jesse Bates,
right,
all right, or a Lindstrom, and extend them so it doesn't maybe hurt us down the road. But with that said, the Grady situation today is really the main thing that has happened. But then you go, okay, well, you said some other things, Dukes. Well, they also lost Drew Dolman because, Mike, we talked about free agency. We weren't going to be able to afford him. Mm-hmm. He also goes to the Bears.
Yeah, 3-year, $42 million deal. Ben Johnson came in. Our buddy Steve Weiss from NFL Network just tweeted, yeah, Ben Johnson sees what they do in the Lions trenches, and he's doing the same thing now up in Detroit. So trying to shore things up on both sides. They've added a number of pieces to protect Caleb Johnson, who got sacked more than anybody. And good for Drew. Now, the question we always had was it a combination of just too much money? And you felt also good or confident in Ryan Neusel? Are they going to go draft a center? Is it going to be a competition? We're not quite sure yet. The only other available center is the Packers center, who's not really considered even remotely as good as Dahlman was as far as this free agent class.
Right.
So waiting to see. And that's where I think a lot of folks are a little curious. Remember, the spin from our general manager was, well, we budgeted Kirk Cousins' contract, regardless of what his role is. And now we're finding, no, you really didn't. We don't have a lot of money to spend unless, and you and I are waiting. And again, I apologize for saying this again. We are thinking they're going to restructure some of the players, right? Like you're the guys you expect to be here for a number of years, like, I don't know, AJ or Bates or Chris Lindstrom.
Yeah.
Because right now we don't have a lot of cap space.
But that's what I was just saying about why they chose Jake to extend versus some of these other guys that make, to me, more sense. Right. Now, doesn't mean they won't happen. But
we're still not really in the black. But, you know, we have money to wiggle, but not a lot of wiggle room.
There you go. And if you're going to be a player in free agency, which is something that we at least expected them to make a move or two, then we'll see. But, Mike, again, day one and all of this stuff we're talking about, guys, Sam Darnold's deal and Justin Fields and some of the premier free agents on the marketplace – these are day one deals, meaning that's why we're getting word of these kinds of deals being, you know, leaked. That doesn't mean a week from now, and I know it's crazy that deals aren't still going to be being done in the NFL. And maybe that's where we're going to be living based on our financial situation. The problem is, Mike, do we have the wherewithal to fill these holes? You just brought up to me, D. Orlando Ledbetter has put out there, you know, and he's being sarcastic somewhat, but he's got a list of the starters that started the last game of the season, and he's got guys that are no longer here marked through red, including Grady, right? And you're going down the list, and there's like six guys or seven guys on defense that are no longer here, whether they were released or, you know, the money wasn't there. Either way, are we going to have the wherewithal to not only replace these guys, but let's say it, upgrade?
Right. Now, again, it really is dependent on, and I know you disagree a little bit with me, but, I mean, Rook Arororo needs to hit the ground running.
He does.
I mean, he really needs to be if not a star, a really solid piece. Onyemata was restructured last year. We did not really talk about that. You and I were still under the impression they might just cut him outright, but he's still here. Well, we'll see. I mean, we still have another, 24 hours before we see more stuff happening here in the league. But you're right. Grady Jarrett's gone. Carter's gone. Judon's gone. Hughes is gone, presumably. Simmons is gone. So you've got to replace those guys. We don't know what Dorlus is going to be. He played in two games. Rook Arororo played in eight games. We know that Braylon Trice, you and I really loved his effort in camp, and then he blows his knee out in the first preseason game. So Troy Andersen has played nine games the last two seasons. These guys really, youth must be served, and they got to serve it up pretty darn good, for lack of a better phrase, coming up this season.
So this gets down to one or two things, right? Because I don't think our situation financially is going to change that significantly. It would have already. Because if you really wanted to get in on any of these guys, you would have. But, Mike, I think this comes down to something I've been saying is development with Jeff Ulbrich, with the new defensive line coach, with the new coordinator, and the guys that you're talking about that are holdovers from last year's draft, but it also comes down to finding multiple rookies in this draft that can also help you.
You better get impact like 2016.
Mike, we're talking about three starters. What was our motto?
Arthur Blank said to Dimitrov, I need three starters, you nitwits. You got to get three starters out of this freaking draft, and we don't have a third-round pick right now. I did a mock draft over the weekend. Don't mock. I know you give me the look. I did a mock draft. I traded down to the second round. I was able to pick up a third-rounder. That's pie in the sky. All these simulations everybody's doing, who knows how it would play in the real world. But I don't know how we're going to be able to pull that off without having a third-round pick. You know, we got a one, and we got a two, and we got a four, and we got two sevens.
So we released Grady. Restructured Jake. We got about $10 million in cap space. That is not going to do it. That's not going to get it done. And so we are at a disadvantage, and this is what you have to understand as a Falcon fan right now, and this is why many of you are mad and going, the Cousins thing screwed us. We are at a disadvantage for bidding on free agents. This is where we're at. So why you see other teams around the league, right, being able to do some of these things, even letting Grady go and restructuring Jake is not enough.
No. That's why you and I are kind of sitting there waiting for some more rubber to hit the road here. And that's why, you know, you already referenced some of those guys. We thought, you know, when you figure when Matt got restructured, that was one of the ways we could do it. There's only so many guys you can use. Like, for instance, the Cowboys, Dak Prescott better figure out how to win the playoffs because they're kind of stuck with Dak forever.
That's right.
Kind of the way Matt was at the end of his career. But we figure Lindstrom is going to be a reliable guy that'll be here for years. AJ, you believe in. Jesse's going to be here for at least three or four more years. So those were some just off the top of our head, you know. Or, you know, but again, guys, I know it's confusing, but you restructure and the money comes in the form of a signing bonus, which then creates more cap space for this year.
Yeah, it gives you more flexibility for the for right now. And what happens for the long term is you're just connected to that player maybe for either longer or their cap hit changes and you might have to pay it out if you, you know, end up letting them go. But as I've been saying, Mike, you can create more space. You guys, we get up to $30 million if you want to do all these guys. Right. The problem becomes, do you think all of these guys are going to still be able to play in 2 or 3 years? Because that's what you're doing. That's what you're doing. If you extend and restructure Lindstrom and Bates and AJ, and I know that, you know, some of those guys, you're, that's what you're trying to say. With that, though, you could create $30, $35 million, right. And all of a sudden now you're in the mix to go do a couple of things, maybe at a corner, Mike, maybe at a safety. And then you go to the draft and you say, here's our philosophy. But that's what we're waiting on.
But again, some of the free – and there's still – it's a good free agent class for corners, but they're not coming cheap. But one of the guys – who was it we talked about? DJ Reed with the Jets.
Yep.
Where did he sign, Chris? He wound up signing with – yeah, he signed somewhere. It's not with us. Carol –
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North convenience stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over, and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.
Carolina picked up the Lions corner. So there's been some safeties that have been signed. He went to the Lions. The Lions actually swapped. I mean, they're moving guys around. We had talked about DJ Reed because of his relationship with Jeff Ulbrich, who's been the defensive coordinator.
Yeah, the corner with the Jets who might be a viable, you know, candidate to come here. Either way, there have been a lot of guys traded. There have been a lot of guys, you know, that have been restructured or should I say re-signed with their own teams. And there's a lot of that going on. Obviously, guys, if you think a guy can play, you re-sign him. And maybe you get him a new deal, but there's a lot of that going on as well as a lot of guys changing places.
Carolina, we talked about them making some moves, both a corner and a safety. For a minute there, they were in on, who is it from the Eagles? The defensive tackle that wound up signing with the Patriots, right, Chris?
Milton.
Yeah, Milton Williams. There was initial reports from Adam Schefter. He was going to Carolina. He wound up in New England. New England's got a ton of money to spend. The Bucs signed Hassan Reddick on a one-year deal.
Yes.
They were able to get Godwin back along with Evans, so that's a nice pickup in our division. And meanwhile, as Falcon fans know, we're still waiting to see how we're going to, as Carl just laid out, create some more cap space so we can do some stuff. Now, we have been late, Carl, to Dre Greenlaw, and I don't know how you feel about this, and I know it's a terrible story for a guy that looked like one of the young stars in this league at linebacker who blows his Achilles running down the field at the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I don't need that. I'm not interested in a guy that played two games last year for the 49ers. You know, and I don't know where that's coming from, but there's a lot of guys who are into stuff. There's a lot of reports linking us to Dre Greenlaw.
Yeah. And again, coming off of injury, not interested for me. Didn't we just do this, Kirk Cousins? Like, I'm not
Judon
interested.
Was coming off an arm injury. You know how that panned out?
30-plus, not interested. Like that, and when you get past that, then you start getting into the premier guys that you're going to pay a lot of money for. So maybe Greenlaw, Mike, for the price and the risk involved, is worth trying to take a chance on him. There's no debating, guys. We need to upgrade our linebacking core. There's no debating that. But we also need to upgrade our defensive line. And so I've been saying we need to get bigger. We need to get more athletic on the defensive line specifically. That's what I think they're going to try to draft. But you said it. The guys that are currently here need to also step up. Meanwhile, day one's not – when we say day one, free agency is not over.
Right.
And I know we're all on edge, and we're going to take some of your calls here when we come back at 404-726-0929, because I want to know what you think about whether it's Grady or where the direction is of this team and how you're feeling right now, because it's always frustrating to see other teams, even our division, making moves, and we're just kind of sitting there. But it's not over, and I just want to say that to say we may get to next week, and I think we will, and they will have done a few things because they have to. They just can't do nothing, Mike,
right,
and expect to fill the void with street free agents and minimum salary guys the rest of the way. They're going to have to. But what those moves are going to be dictated on how much money they end up restructuring.
Right. So, as we said, it's just the first day. People see headlines. Agents leak this stuff to the media. You know where people are going, and you see guys that you were interested in go somewhere else. So it's frustrating.
All right, we're coming back, 404-726-0929. I know many of you tried to get in earlier, and you maybe weren't able to. Here's your chance. Want to know how you're feeling? Want to know what you're thinking about the Falcons? You can let us know. It's Dukes and Bell. We're talking to you at 404-726-0929. It is the start of legal tampering, which means deals are leaked. And there are tons of them going on around the NFL. Sam Darnold has a new home in Seattle. We'll tell you more about that. Justin Fields does not go back to Pittsburgh. He agrees to a two-year, $40 million deal with the Jets. Now, I will tell you guys before we jump on the phones, and we want to hear from you. We're going to grab all your phone calls here in just a second. Apparently, and I don't know if it was some special trip or what's going on, but Justin Fields was in Dubai, and it got out this morning that he was there and he was not here in the States. So, you know, his agent is handling all of this business, and ultimately he gets a deal.
Man, the Starbucks in Dubai doesn't play around. You see his coffee?
Well, but he wasn't the only one there. Apparently, Justin Fields is with Micah Parsons, Kyle Pitts, and Bijan Robinson.
Nice.
We've heard. So I don't know if they're over there for some kind of function or something. And the guys in the NFL, they travel, and it's right. Cool. But point is, Justin wasn't the only one over there, and word got out like, oh, what are they doing over there? Don't know. But they're all in Dubai, and they're hanging
out. Podcast.
It really would be.
You know Micah likes to do that.
And he probably will talk about it when he gets back. But I say that to say Parsons, or should I say Fields, gets a new deal. We know Kyle and Bijan obviously are here with us, and both are still under contract. So.
This is a contract year for Kyle Pitts. You know, if he balls out, hopefully we'll have the good problem of maybe franchise tagging and we're doing a long-term deal. If he doesn't, he'll likely be released. I mean, not released, he'll just be a free agent.
Correct. All right, let's grab some phone calls, 404-726-0929. Let's talk to Yo in Atlanta. Yo, how are you feeling about what's going on with the Falcons? Hey, man.
I'm loving what's going on with the Falcons. Hey, man, how y'all doing?
Good, bro.
I'm doing good, man. Listen, I'm going to say this like this. When Mr. Bell was going to get his brand new Corvette, he didn't just give his old Corvette to Cars for Kids. He traded it in because it had value. And that's the same thing we're looking at with Kirk Cousins. What I don't want the Falcons to get into a habit of is what the Atlanta Hawks have gotten in a habit of. They're sitting here looking at Clint Capela like, oh, he's our future. He's our defensive stalwart, but we don't play him. And so we sit here and we look at Garrett. I'm like, listen, I love Grady, but let's be honest. You can't be last in the NFL and still make that kind of money.
Right.
So, yes, we didn't give him anybody next to him for, what, was that 9 years, I believe? Mm-hmm. That is on the front office. It's not just Terry. That's also Dimitrov. So we have to start looking at getting younger, bigger, stronger, and faster. That being said, first round, we go defensive tackle. Second round, I want a dog, and that is going to be Jarrett Wilson because we need to replace our center. Love you guys. Ooh. Take care.
Yeah, I mean, we'll just mention Ryan Neusel, who did a nice job stepping in. And Carl and I, again, we have no idea what their intentions are, if they feel that Neusel can take over or not. I mean, but yeah, the last time that Grady Jarrett played with some really good dudes, it was Dontari Poe, Courtney Upshaw, Debo, Brooks Reed. Remember Vic Beasley was actually pretty good in 16?
Sure.
You know, Devondre Campbell was here, that rookie class from 16. Mm. And then eventually guys either got hurt or had to get paid and left. And unfortunately, Grady, to his point, I said this to you last week, and I think you agree, it's tough because you love this guy so much, he's heart and soul. But when you are part of a really bad defense, I just don't think anyone is irreplaceable. So the Falcons offer him to take a pay cut. Todd France says no, there's still a good market for Grady. So that's how the cookie crumbled. Jake got a bit of a raise. He got more money in the form of a contract extension. They probably wanted Grady to take a cut. And so Grady said no, he wound up making $28 million guaranteed on a deal with the Bears.
Yeah, and look, I've said all along, Mike, I do agree with you that there is no one should be untouchable. Everybody's got to be looked at and evaluated. And then if the money comes into play, let's just say they said, hey, Grady's still a hell of a player. By the way, I think he is. I think he's going to be fine in Chicago.
And maybe this last year, because it's still a full year coming off the ACL, mm-hmm. he'll bounce back. I don't know. Some guys feel you get at this stage of his career, you don't bounce back.
And even if they said that we feel like he's a really good player, the money was the key thing. And so that's just the way it is. But you know what? For all the years that we've said, oh, they don't make tough decisions. Oh, they fall in love with guys. Oh, they keep guys too long. Not this decision.
This is what they should.
Not this one.
This is what they should have done with Julio at the end when he wanted that raise. So trade your buddy, go get some draft picks.
Yeah. So for everybody that's feeling some kind of way, I would hope that you understand that that's the other side of this. That okay, maybe the front office and maybe the people who are making these decisions, Mike, realize we do need to cut the cord. We got to move on, and we can't afford certain things. Let's talk to Tinker on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Tinker, hey man.
Hey man.
Hey man.
Hey, you know, I'm at the point now where if it was good enough for Gene Hackman, it's good enough for me. Let's do all replacement players. Just get it down to the skull and bones. Give Winston a contract. Give him a contract, some shoulder pads. I'm going to tell you right now, Winston, I know he can cause some havoc in that backfield. That's what I'm ready for.
Man, I know that we've got to come up with some players. We're just curious, you know, where is this going to go? The part of this, and this is where Jeff Ulbrich really, man, this defensive coaching staff's got to maximize the talent. The youth will be served. You know, Troy Anderson's got to stay on the field. Rook's got to be impactful. You know, Dorless, we talked about. All the guys that they've accumulated over the years, these last couple draft picks, this is the year that Zach Harris has got to play like the dude he looks like. He's a monster. We need Arnold Ebiketie to find that next gear. But you're going to have to go draft a fire-breathing edge rusher, whether it's a Jalen Walker or a Mykel Williams or, you know, take any Green from Marshall. But they've got to, Carl, they've got to nail this draft. Just like you said earlier, it's 2016 truly all over again. A great offense, but tons of question marks on defense.
Angelo and McDonough, what's going on? You're on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game with Dukes and Bell. Hey, man.
Hey, man. Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Hey, man, I'm not feeling it. I'm not feeling it at all. We're expecting them to all of a sudden get things right, and everything they've done is just indicative of a brain trust that's more like a brain musk. It stinks. It stinks to high head. Heck, you got Kyle Pitts, who every game I was at last year as a season ticket holder, lollygagged his tail around the field. We brought back Kirk Cousins on a deal. He was coming off an Achilles injury. That's a difficult thing to come to. It was bound to happen to where he would have a setback. So, no, I'm not feeling it. I want, for once in our team's history, for us to be able to go out and get some of those blue-chip players. Mm.
We have not done that. Well, check that. Appreciate the phone call, first of all, Angelo. We haven't done that in a few years. We did do it with Jesse Bates. We did do it with Alex Mack. These are all periods in time where there's a specific need. We had enough money because we had just gotten out of cap hell. And you go, we're going to go get the best safety on the market. It was Jesse Bates. Money well spent. We're going to go get Mack as our center. Money well spent. But you don't do that every year. And even though the teams this year are going out and spending, you know, it fluctuates because everybody goes through these periods. But here's the deal, Mike, and this is the reality, and I understand why Angelo feels the way he does. We are trying to overcome what ultimately turned into a bad decision, and it's the Cousins money.
Right.
It's why I think the Grady situation played out the way it did, and whether you think Grady is good or bad or indifferent, I think he's probably here if we don't have to deal with this. But because of it, you're having to cut in more places than you want, and you're having to cut back and save. Either way, I just feel like that is where Angelo, we're trying to overcome. Mm. And the only way to do this, and it sucks for everybody involved, is to put it behind you. You've got to just try to move on from it. And the problem is, Mike, it's lingering and affecting decisions that we need now.
Well, as D. Ledge has laid out, we got to fill six holes on this defense. You know, it could come from within. You know, as the next man up, as far as those rookies I just referenced. But if you look at the last game of the season, the guys that were starting, Dahlman's gone, you know, Judon, we knew he was going to be leaving. Right. Carter, we knew he was going to be leaving. We already talked about, you know, Bertrand is a rookie. Who am I thinking? Nate Landman, those guys. It's not an impactful defense. So we are literally repeating ourselves from 2016 when we said last segment, I need three starters, you nitwits, and you better get it. And the guys you drafted have got to step in. Because unless we restructure some of those guys we've already mentioned that are hopefully have a long future with us, like Lindstrom and AJ, maybe Jesse, you don't have a lot of cap space. So at the end of the day, look at the Commanders. Commanders are making moves. They just made a trade for Laremy Tunsil. They brought in Debo, right? How are they doing? Well, they're on a rookie quarterback. They're on Jaden Daniels' rookie deal.
That's right.
If we're on Michael Penix Jr.'s rookie deal and he had all season to start and we don't ever get in bed with Kirk Cousins, we've got room. We're doing all we can be doing all the things that other teams are doing on rookie quarterback deals. We are now back into a form of cap hell, which I think a lot of fans weren't expecting to come back so quickly after just getting out of it in 2021.
And that's part of this, no doubt. 404-726-0929. Appreciate all the phone calls. More of your thoughts coming up along the way, guys, as we'll recap all of the big-time major moves. And, again, there's been so much that happened even over the weekend that we haven't had a chance to really dive in. And we're just talking about some of the things that went down today, but Josh Allen gets a new six-year, $330 million extension. I mean, Myles Garrett, after complaining, stays right where he is and gets paid. I mean, all of this stuff is played out over the weekend, and then today you've got all this new news that's happening.
Because a lot of guys want to believe that Kirk Cousins, someone will trade for him. Well, when Carl and I break down all these moves today with quarterbacks, you're running out of places for Kirk Cousins to get traded too, even if somebody would.
Supply and demand. We're coming back. Grant McCauley's going to join us. We got to talk some Braves, and we will next. All right, Grant, let's recap the weekend a little bit. First and foremost, what'd you learn, if anything, about this club this weekend before we start talking about the pitching? Because I know that's what Mike wants to talk about. What'd you think?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that there's really too much to take out of the weekend. Obviously, we're on the other side of trying to figure out the catching situation and all of that. But, you know, by and large, I mean, this is the modus operandi for the Braves, particularly the pitching staff, but really everybody, is just be healthy, get your work in. And then as we get a little bit closer to opening day, which I know is not too far away, just making sure everybody's gotten that work, built up that innings, you know, threshold that they need to, and just check all the boxes. Honestly, I think that's really where they're at this point in the spring.
I know that the younger guys, I spoke last week about, you know, Ian Anderson, and again, it's a small sample size, but some of the younger guys really do look like they're dialed in, and that's always my concern to Carl's point. You know, what's your number five going to look like? And then it seems like we always seem to go to a six-man later in the summer.
Yeah, for the Braves, I mean, this six-man thing, I think, is going to be real throughout the course of the season. And this is something that we noticed last year that they were utilizing to have the ability to give the Chris Sales, the Ronaldo Lopez's, and let me now add, the Spencer Striders, a little bit of extra rest where they need it over the course of the long season in hopes of having them ready to be a factor in the postseason. And yes, I know that didn't work last year. I know that Chris Sale had his back spasms. I know that they weren't able to, you know, utilize Ronaldo Lopez thanks to having to play all the way down to the final day of the season. And obviously Spencer Strider missed a significant amount of time, nearly the entire season. But I think that they have found that this is something that they believe will work for them to take advantage of the off days and the arms where they can, where it makes sense, to pretty much run about as close to a six-man rotation, even if they won't call it that, as necessary. So to your point, Mike, I think it's, you know, Ian Anderson, Grant Holmes, A.J. Smith-Shawver, those I think are the front line of names that you're going to be looking at in the 4-5-6 spot or maybe the 5-6-7 spot by the time Strider gets back to kind of help you throughout the course of this summer with other names mixed in, whether that's a Hurston Waldrop, a Bryce Elder, whoever might be on the right rest and perhaps the right matchup as well. That could also help as far as putting guys in position to succeed or help out the club while they're up, even if it's briefly.
What would have been the plan if Profar was injured? What
yeah.
happens?
Ugh.
If in fact that would have played out, we're glad it didn't. But
right.
moving forward, like, okay, what would be the plan there, Grant?
I mean, your plan is utilizing what you have and maybe looking for help at that point. I think you would kind of have to see if there's maybe somebody that's still out there floating around that could help you out for at least a few weeks, depending on the severity of his injury. And then maybe a guy like in 2019, they picked up Matt Joyce kind of off the scrap heap at the very end of spring training. He ended up being a very useful player for them. So there may still be that guy out there that can help out in that outfield mix. I think Brian De La Cruz has looked pretty good. I think there's a big enough sample size of his career that we know that he has a lot of power. Everything else is kind of on a sliding scale, but I think if you're asking about the in-house options for it, all of a sudden you're staring at an outfield that's going to look like Michael Harris in center, Jared Kelnick in right, and probably Brian De La Cruz in left field, had the Profar thing gone worse than it did. And I think the Braves and Profar himself can breathe a big sigh of relief.
It is our man Grant McCauley. I saw your tweet earlier, a picture of Fred McGriff talking to Walt Weiss. Are they breaking out the Tom Hemansky defensive drills down there in Northport?
Well, that was a picture from 2018, so probably not. But he was so far in the background of that, I just thought, having been there, that it was interesting that you look, and it was kind of the two ends of the extreme, because it was Ronald Acuna Jr. before he'd even debuted in the big leagues,
right,
talking to his good buddy Ozzie Albies, who'd just come up the year before. And then you had, you know, Braves of the past with Walt Weiss talking to Fred McGriff in the background. But
very cool.
I don't think they necessarily need the Tom Hemansky treatment just yet. But, yeah, they want to get all the spring work they can, because a good defense is obviously a big part of the pitching staff success that the Braves very much would like to replicate from a year ago.
Grant McCauley, our guest, guys, as we talk all things Braves. Look, it's hard to look to the future. We know that Marcell Ozuna has been a big part of this. But I saw, you know, him talking about SNID and talking about the future and all of this. And, you know, we rarely run into guys, Grant, that don't want to be here, right? Mm-hmm. That don't want to be or remain with the Braves because of the way the organization handles business. But we know, you know, if he hits the ball like he did last year and puts up those kind of numbers, is it going to be hard to walk away from him?
I mean, it's going to be a very, very interesting decision with regards to that, because Marcell Ozuna went from a guy who you felt like was an absolute liability both in the field or on the field, off the field, and of course at the plate. He just wasn't producing for two solid years, and it's almost like he paid the price back with interest just for sticking with him over the course of 2023 and 2024. And now you kind of have that decision point of, if you can find the palatable, the right deal for him, we're not talking about another 5-year contract or anything like that, but right. If he could bring this guy back, and he's a 35-40 homer hitter who bats somewhere in the 290 to 300 range and can drive in 100-plus runs, I mean, those guys don't grow on trees. And we saw last year how even the guys that are capable of doing that, things can go wrong. You can have a down year like Matt Olson. You can get hurt like Austin Riley or Ronald Acuna or Ozzie Albies. So, you know, from a continuity standpoint, I think it's going to be an interesting decision. And I think part of that math, maybe, and I could be getting way ahead of myself. In fact, I'll go ahead and say that I am. You know, how do you get at bats for a Drake Baldwin if you believe in him at the plate as much as it feels like the Braves believe in him as a hitter? Yes. And as a catching prospect? Yes. But what's the answer to that if you have the other thing that you really need to have work? And that's get Sean Murphy back, get him going again, and have him catching the bulk of the games. That's what they got him to do. That's what they signed him to the extension for. That part of the plan very much needs to go right.
Guys, if you're just tuning in, more on NFL free agency, a crazy day for the Falcons coming up here in just minutes. Grant's talking about the Braves. You just mentioned Drake Baldwin. I heard the Chris Sale comment the other day about how he seems comfortable back there. I mean, obviously there's no experience like what Sean Murphy has handling a pitching rotation, but what is Drake going to be doing, and how good is he looking?
I think he looks really, really comfortable. And I talked to Drake Baldwin for a long time. You're going to hear that in my upcoming From the Diamond spring training special that will air on the 17th right here on 92.9 The Game, just about what he learned, the steps he has taken, what the last year really has been for him, going from the low minors and just a catching prospect who was kind of on the radar to a guy who's knocking on the door, did the things he did offensively last year. But I was so impressed with how much he talked about his willingness and his desire to learn, whether it was from Sean Murphy and Travis d'Arnaud in spring training or from guys like Sandy Leon and, you know, some of the other catchers at the minor league level, even just veteran big league players that they're continuing their career, but they've got serious service time. And he was able to have a lot of them around him in AAA. And he said, you know, it helped me for game planning. It helped me think about the game differently, to slow different things down, to run through different scenarios. I mean, that almost, in my eyes, is like a finishing school for a prospect like that when he's able to learn almost as a mentee in that kind of situation. So to make a long story short, there's a ton to like about Drake Baldwin. I think that if he gets the opportunity to start the year, he certainly earned it with the spring he's putting up and the fact the Braves believe that he has been under the learning tree, to use that phrase, and that he's capable of doing the job if they want to go that way. I'm fascinated to see what his 2025 looks like because, again, it's not exactly the clearest of pictures if you've got a healthy Sean Murphy.
Yeah, that's true. All right, and you've not heard anything new on him, right? Nothing?
No. I mean, we are probably not going to hear anything for 3-4 more weeks until it's a, hey, Sean Murphy's feeling good, maybe rehab assignments around the corner, get him cranked back up. But, I mean, the best-case scenario here is mid-April return for Sean Murphy, and I'm sure that's what he's aiming for and working for, but you know, you can't hurry up the healing of a broken bone. Unfortunately, that's just one of those things that's out of your control.
All right, when's your special again? Make note.
It's going to be on Monday night, March the 17th. It's the first of two spring training specials that I'll have. I had great, great conversations with Drake Baldwin. Will be on this first one. I also caught up with Brian Snitker, with Alex Anthopoulos, with Austin Riley, and a host of other Braves and front office coaching. Everything was just – it's wonderful to go down at the start of spring training when it's all new again and get everybody's temperature on the upcoming season. So a lot of optimism. Obviously, the games have started. The injuries, unfortunately, have started, but the Braves have, I think, a lot of belief in what this squad can do. So spring training special number one from the Diamond coming your way on Monday night. That's the 17th of March.
Great stuff. Grant McCauley, appreciate you, man. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right, guys, look forward to it.
Yeah, that's and we're getting our daily fix, man. We do this throughout the course of the season for those of you who are new to the show every day, talking Braves and making sure we're up on everything that goes on. It's going to be an interesting start to the season. I just hope we start fast. I don't want us to get caught up in this lull, Mike, where, you know, we're trying to catch teams, whether it's the Phillies or the Mets or whomever. So with that said, though, there are more free agent moves that we need to talk about, and we're going to be continuing that conversation in the 6 o'clock hour.
Right on, guys. Yeah, I know the you know, the Falcons today, a lot of folks hitting us up on the text line. A lot of hard feelings about Grady Jarrett getting cut today and then signing with the Chicago Bears. Like, as soon as Todd France and the Falcons kind of got done, I guess, haggling Carl, they decided they had a great offer, and that's why they weren't prepared to take a pay cut. And we weren't privy to it. We'll get a chance maybe at some point to talk to Todd about it, but common sense would say the Falcons wanted him for, you know, less money. He wasn't prepared to do that, and there was still a robust market for it. And we look at what the Bears are doing. They're trying to really, you know, beef up their trenches. You know, remember, they got Montez Sweat. Remember, they outbid us. It was us and the Commanders.
Yeah.
Commanders and the Bears, I should say, and us. And we couldn't give the picks that the Bears were. So they're doing some things there, and hopefully they can figure out Caleb Williams. Drew Dahlman is going to be the center, so it'll be Caleb Williams' hand on his tuchus this year up in Chicago.
I keep talking about trying to address maybe a corner in this free agency period, and well, there's another one off the board, Javarius Ward.
That's another one we talked about.
Yeah, he goes to the Colts, Mike, and he agrees to a 3-year $60 million. Again, it's up to, that's not the guaranteed money, but Javarius Ward is an interesting dude because he's very talented. He's only 28, but his daughter passed away last year, and so that really affected, obviously, as it would affect anybody. But we're talking about a Pro Bowl corner, Mike, with the 49ers prior to that. And, you know, he started his career with the Cowboys, and he ends up with the Colts and Lou Anarumo, who's the new DC there. But this was a guy we talked about. You know, if you're going to try to address a position in free agency, this was the one area where I thought, okay, let's go get the guy opposite of A.J. Terrell and then in the draft improve our D-line and linebackers, right, et cetera. But we are still looking on the outside, looking in.
Yeah, we spent a lot of time the last few weeks. We just talked with Brian McFadden about DJ Reed because of his familiarity with Jeff Ulbrich, who is the DC. And unfortunately, he signs a deal with the Lions, a 3-year, $48 million deal. So I know it's just frustrating right now. As we said, it's weird because it's legal tampering. But basically, the agents get the news to the media, and then basically it's a fait accompli. These deals are going down,
yeah,
and it just becomes official coming up on Wednesday.
All right, here's something else for you. Eagles traded quarterback Kenny Pickett. Remember, he was in Pittsburgh.
Two gloves.
They traded him to Pittsburgh, to the Eagles.
Great trivia question. Took a knee at the end of the Super Bowl.
Yeah, and so the Eagles trade him to the Browns,
okay,
for a 2025 fifth-round pick and quarterback Dorian Thompson-Robinson. Remember, he played a little bit for the Browns. Either way, Kenny Pickett finding a new home in Cleveland. Now, I don't think that's the answer for them.
No.
I don't think, Mike, but...
Well, they just go and get Cam Ward. which some people feel might be, you know, like at some point they still can't cut Deshaun this year unless they're going to do what the Broncos did and just completely eat that dead cap.
Still a lot of money.
But they saw, like, Myles Garrett becomes the highest paid non-quarterback. That deal went down. Strange negotiation tactics. Open letter to the fans, I'm out. And then, hey, owner, I want to talk to you. I'm not talking to you. And he signs the deal. So he's staying. But yeah, I mean, they can still go get their quarterback. Where's Kirk Cousins going to go? We've been going round and round on this. Justin Fields, this one, of all the things that happened today, the most surprising is that Justin Fields signs with the Jets on a 2-year deal.
Yeah, and it's surprising because he actually had multiple options. The biggest one, I think, was in Pittsburgh where they wanted him back. And the Jets situation, you know, Mike, maybe he just wanted a new change of scenery and a commitment completely and wholeheartedly that he was going to be the guy going wherever he ended up. I do think they wanted him back as a starter in Pittsburgh. I know that because they were not taking Russell back and him. So now you've got a couple of listen, the main veterans, these are the three guys. It's Russ, it's Kirk Cousins, who you'd have to trade for, and Aaron Rodgers. Russ and Rodgers, Mike, you can go try to pay them whatever you want and make a deal with them. But to your point, if you want to go get a veteran guy, those are the three guys that really we're talking about at this point. A lot of the other quarterbacks that we've been discussing, all the, you know, Justin's 25, I mean, right. Sam Darnold, 27. All these guys are now off the board. So that's the three, but the guy we've got, you got to trade for him.
So that's the thing. And, you know, guys kept coming to us of the impression that somebody would be willing to trade. And Steve Weiss kind of pumped some air into that fire last week. But, I mean, it's a 100-to-1 shot, guys. I'm going to stick with that number. Because, you know, if the Giants, you know, they can go get Shador Sanders, hypothetically. You know, or because Aaron Rodgers, I mean, it's funny, poor Mike Tomlin. He may have Aaron Rodgers, DK Metcalf, and George Pickens. We'll talk more about that coming up. But Aaron Rodgers, he's the last piece to go. Because, as you said, Seattle basically sent Geno to Vegas, so they don't need a quarterback now. Who's going to trade for Kirk Cousins? Who's going to give you anything for Kirk Cousins? And then you've got to have to hope that somebody gets hurt and they come to you in the middle of the... You're going to have Kirk there throwing footballs next to Michael Penix Jr. end of July when camp opens up? I can't see that.
All right, we're running down all the deals, and there are a lot of them. We'll try to get you caught up on the latest as guys make their new moves and new teams as the NFL free agency period is well underway. We'll continue this conversation with you as well. 404-726-0929, it's Dukes and Bell.